one of the things for us as a church, we are very keen on saying if you find projects that you want to get involved with or to see, to come and just share, you have a chance to share with the congregation and see if we can give you prayer support. Just briefly, before I get into the message, the more and more I think of our church, we're focusing on a couple of different areas. One of the main areas that we were saying was, like, how do we continue to build our church as this being a place for us to invite our brothers and sisters to come to, people that we meet to come and minister to them, and just to share, you know what, I know Jesus, and he's made such a big impact in my life, and I want you to come and be part of that. And so serving and investing in this church means being part of the worship team or the welcome team or the setup team. It means being involved with the Sunday school and the youth group. And it's really for those of us here who say, you know what, I really feel like this is my home church. This is where I should be. God, how can you use me here? We don't look for the greatest or the most best equipped person. We actually look for the ones who are the most teachable and say, you know what, I just want to learn how to be gracious, how to grow in that aspect. Because I really believe God can use us all in those different ways. So whether you are in university, which is sometimes the best time to invest in just trying to teach kids or even being involved in the youth group, you discover actually that the richness that you do in that investment and that time there really pays off in the long run. The other areas that we're looking into is stuff in the wider church area. So it's involvement with other churches. So we're running Doxa this year, which is another worship conference, that we invite other churches and say, you know what, come and let's share together, let's share ideas, and let's see if we can have some ways to grow and benefit and bless one another. So that's run by us, but we also partner with COCM and things like Fat Camp, which is a teen conference, with Regen, which is a university conference, and other things like that. That's the wider network. The stuff that we're also doing now on a local level, and I really feel like this is something God is opening our eyes to, is work among the Muslims and just being to pray for them, again, partnering, and how do we reach out to them, joining in things that are already established, saying, well, let me go help in this charity shop just so I can become a brother and sister to the area around us. And those are some of those key areas that we're looking into. So on a very personal, internal level, on a local level, and also on a broader, wider network. On top of that, we support a few missionaries that are going out, and we have a sister who is prayerfully considering where her next step should be out somewhere in the Middle East. And again, that's something we really are so encouraged by. We also support other missionaries in the UK as well. But those are some of the things. And I really want you guys to be thinking, you know, God, can you use me? Will you use me? And how can you use me? There is so much need out there. So many people are just really trying to struggle through life. And we have this blessing of Jesus Christ in us. And we're like, okay, well, let me see if I can bring this and share this out. Following on from that, we are kind of in the middle of nowhere in terms of our series. I mean, like 2 weeks ago, we had a baptism last, or 3 weeks ago, we had a baptism last week. We had an anniversary service. So we haven't been going through a particular series. And I like it when that happens because I can just kind of preach on any topic I want, just kind of pick something out of the blue. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the world today, and we talked about hate, and I was just talking with David Milross about how I gave a very similar sermon in like 2011, also about the world today and how much hate there is, and I said, sadly, I would have hoped there would be less hate since 2011, but looks like there's only more, and we were discussing whether it really is that bad, and also at the same time realizing, you know, God and his sovereignty is still so much greater, and that we are still living in a real time of opportunity for us to be God's ministers. But today what I wanted to talk about was this challenge that we have when something unexpected happens. And I'm kind of calling it the unexpected. We call these things interludes, like something in between, neither here nor there. After this week, we'll be starting a new series on the purpose-driven life and just kind of talking through those things, based loosely off Rick Warren's book. And James Tang, which starts work next week, will be preaching while I'm preaching in our Telford congregation next week. So that'll be his indoctrination into our church, just has to preach straight away. But this topic on the unexpected. Now, so a few weeks ago, I was at home, and I got something in the post. And sometimes things you get in the post are really exciting, really wonderful. And I looked at it and said, oh, this is interesting. What's this? It's like just an envelope, a normal thing. So I opened it up. And as I opened it up, inside was a picture of a car. I thought, oh, did I win a car? And then it says, oh, you've been given a violation for your car driving in a bus lane. And I was like, what? Wait a second. I didn't drive in any bus lane. Secondly, I looked at it. I was like, this is not my car because my wife drives that car, so I actually forgotten what that car looks like. So this is not my car. I wasn't in Cardiff. I wasn't driving a bus lane. Why did I? I was like, this is so unexpected, so unhappy. I'm so incensed about this. I looked a bit closer. And I was like, wait, is that my wife's car? Is that her license plate number? It is her reg number. And the car's in my name. So I got this ticket. I was like, no, what has happened? And I told my wife, did you drive in a bus lane in Cardiff while I was away? She says, oh, yeah, I thought that might have been a bus lane. And when I was in it, I thought, I wonder if I'm going to get a ticket. And then, of course, she did, and she got it. And I said, oh. And I left it there for a few days thinking, oh, maybe she'll pay it. And she said, oh, can you pay it? Because you're all set up online and stuff like that. I'm like, you're fine. And that was a very unexpected thing. And it's one of those unexpected things which can really put a damper on your day, right? It's like, oh, I'm so annoyed and so frustrated about these things. The thing about the things in our life is sometimes unexpected things come up. And we say, oh, that was really unexpected. I'm really, I don't know what to do next. I'm really confused. And when we looked at some of the stuff that's been happening around the world with the earthquakes in Mexico and the hurricanes in the Caribbean, you get this picture of like, actually, those are also really unexpected. How do you move forward in life when unexpected things happen? And I actually thought, well, actually, you know, when we talk about unexpected things, it's not just so straightforward, like you're just unexpected and that's it. Actually, there's a scale to all of these things. Some unexpected things have very large impact, and some unexpected things have very small impact. And the other scale is actually some things are completely unexpected, and some things are expected. So let me kind of walk you through this chart that I made. Why does this button keep making it go off? So like an earthquake is a big impact, and it is fairly unexpected. You might have a short warning of knowing. And so like in the States, in California, everyone keeps saying, there's going to be a big earthquake. There's going to be a big earthquake because there hasn't been one in a long time. The plates are angry, so at some point there's going to be a massive earthquake. So there's always this fear, so they always tell you, you know, you should stock up on water, blah, 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 blah. So it's kind of expected, but no one knows when it's really going to come. The same thing for a hurricane, right? Hurricane's a little bit different because you have warning systems that can tell you at least in some advance. So like Florida could say, get out of here, there's a huge earthquake coming. Massive damage, right? So it's a very large, unexpected thing. But only kind of unexpected, but not. And again, a good way to tell whether something's really unexpected or not is how you pay insurance for it, right? So whether or not this is like totally. Now, see, there are small things that are unexpected, like rain. Like, oh, we're going to have a picnic. Oh, but it's going to rain. That's like, it's kind of bad, but it's not like totally bad. And because we live in Britain, it's not totally unexpected. But our foolish hope is like, yeah, maybe it won't rain. You know, come on, you know it's going to rain. Another thing is like traffic, right? So traffic is like, well, traffic is unexpected unless you know you're traveling during peak traffic times. And of course, the impact for that is actually small sometimes, unless it's like a major accident, right? Then there are other things. Failing an exam. For a lot of people, that's really unexpected. You know, I studied really hard. I don't know why I failed it. For other people, failing an exam is completely expected because you did not study. And the thing about this is, though, we sometimes think failing an exam is a massive, massive, it's like the worst thing in the world. The world has ended because I failed this exam. And we put it in this category, large-scale unexpected trauma. But in reality, it's not okay. Yeah. Maybe it's your professional exam. Okay. You still have working limbs. You know, you still are alive. It's not as bad as it seems. So it helps to put things in perspective, I feel like, this chart. So another example would be something like a major illness. So a major illness is unexpected, and it comes very big impact in your life. But I put it there because actually some major illnesses, you know, if you smoke regularly, you know you're going to, it's going to come to get you one day, right? I mean, there is a payoff for that. If you are eating McDonald's every day, you know, you are on the fast track for some diseases and heart-related illnesses, but those impact in your life is still very large. And a lot of times we are not prepared for those things. A couple other ones I'll just throw out. Oh, so major illness, not being so expected. Not getting into the university you wanted, or not getting into the school you wanted, or not getting to the place you wanted. A lot of times we think that's like, great, now my life is over. I had a friend who worked really hard to get into Oxford, and when he didn't, and he had to end up going to Sheffield, he was like, he felt like his world had ended. It's like, I went from my hopes of getting into someplace amazing into going to Sheffield? what good can there be in Sheffield? And he had all these hopes and aspirations. But the funny thing is, he ended up going to Sheffield, studying in a course that wasn't his first choice, meeting a girl that he would eventually marry, and God would eventually lead him out to be both working as a pastor in Japan and eventually a pastor in Hong Kong. And you get this picture of, like, we sometimes think these things are so massive in our life and we don't know how to cope with it, but you actually get this better perspective of, like, maybe it's not as bad as it seems. The last two ones are burglary. Burglary in a safe area might be unexpected. Burglary in an unsafe area might still be, you're like, okay, well, I'm towing a line. But burglary always still has that kind of effect. In other words, that sense of safety. For a lot of us, we assume we should always be safe. So when we're not, that's an unexpected thing. And it's very disconcerting, very disheartening for us. And we don't know how to cope from this. My question was, when we come up to something unexpected things happen in your life, you know, we find ourselves confused or frustrated or lost, angry. And in your life, a lot of unexpected things will happen. It's why divorce happens. No one gets married thinking, I can't wait till we have so many arguments that we get divorced. It's an unexpected thing that happens. When your child gets really ill, or if there's a death of someone who is younger than you. All these kind of traumas come into our life, and we go through life hoping that things never happen, never knowing if they will. But actually, the more and more you hear stories about people, these things happen in people's lives. So how do we deal with things when the unexpected happens, when the worst-case scenarios come into play? So when I went on my sabbatical last year, I flew off to the States. And I flew off to the States. Well, actually, what happened, I flew off with the kids, and then afterwards, my wife joined me, and then they flew back home together. And we talked about this, and my wife, we're talking this week about if one of us should die. We talk about this too often, I think. And I said, so the thing was, we're saying, you know, if I die on the plane back, Fan, you know, will you be okay with the kids? She's like, oh, I think they'll be really sad, and we'd had this conversation. So I said, you know what, I'm going to make them a video. I'm going to make them a video to say, it's like, it was very traumatic for me making this video. I was crying so much. I'm like, I can't give them that one. I gotta do it again. And there's a sense of, like, we wanted to kind of prepare ourselves for any inevitability. And even when I went to Manchester to speak at the retreat yesterday, I, you know, made sure I hugged and kissed my kids before I left, just in case I got in a car accident and died. Now, Bert, you think, Bert, you're going overboard, right? But for me, it's like, well, God, I don't know what's gonna happen. So can I make the most of the opportunities that I have? And when the big traumas come, how will I deal with it? Now, whenever a big trauma comes, like a hurricane or an earthquake or a major illness, there are some things that you need definitely outside help to do, physical stuff, like helping people to help give you water or food or to a doctor to tell you what to diagnose. And those are some things that are very useful, and they help to give you understanding about what has happened or what steps to take next. And I'm not going to talk about that because there are so many unexpected things that can happen in terms of what you get physical support for or actually practical kind of means. But the things I want to do kind of touch on are the whole list of emotionally. So this is the kind of trauma that you go to, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And all of these, it is so important to be able to find support around you. To help you with, both emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental, to deal with any kind of the uncertain things that happen in your life. And for most of us, we just think about the physical and the mental maybe and a little bit about the emotional. And very rarely do we think about the spiritual. I wanted to spend a little bit of time today to say, when these things come, or if they come, or if you're going through these hard times right now, what are the things that help you get through it? How do you get through these difficult situations, these difficult seasons? For me, when I think about, in particular, the things of our heart, the things of our emotion, the things that really stir in us, the place where I find God speaking very powerfully is through the Psalms, because they are David's cries. A lot of them are David's cries out to God that come from his heart, that are saying, God, help me in this time of trouble. Help me in this. And one of the Psalms I want to look at today is Psalm 46. And I felt like in this Psalm alone, there is so much for us to understand how to deal with the unexpected and how to know how to move forward for that. So what I'm going to invite you guys to do is, actually, I'm going to read this Psalm out in its entirety. It's not very long. It's 11 verses. But if you will just close your eyes and listen And just let the word of God just sink into your heart. Let me just read this out. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, or though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You can open your eyes, unless you're sleeping. Then you can keep your eyes closed. The first part of this this psalm, it starts off with this thing that we might have heard before. God is our refuge and our strength. Knowing that he is our place of being, the place of rest. But this next line, I think, really jumps out to me. A very present help in times of trouble. I mean, the psalmist is saying, actually, when things are really bad, when trouble comes, when it seems like the worst thing in the world is happening, God is present. He's not just sort of present. He's not kind of like one eye here, one eye on his phone. No, he is very present. In other words, you have to understand that when things are really bad and it seems completely hopeless, there is this beginning which says, God, I know you are here. And I know you know what's going on better than I do. See, the thing about unexpected things or about unexpected trauma or difficulty is we just don't know what's happening. We don't understand the fullness of the situation. We don't know why things have ended up this way. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes things just come. But when you stop and say, actually, God, you are very present in your wisdom and your divine knowledge of everything, I need to stop and just say, actually, God, you are here. In that process, even though you don't feel like it, even though you can't see him, even though you're not sure what happens next, this truth that he is our refuge, that he is our strength, very present, that's the beginning of where you understand how you can find the peace, even in the midst of a massive storm. And then goes on, and when I read these verses today in this context, therefore we will not fear when the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at swelling. I think very much of the natural disasters that are happening today, both the earthquakes and the hurricanes, and the immensity and the power of this earth, and how small and helpless we are in comparison to it. And then I remember, actually, but God, he is even greater than all of this. That even in the midst of this, I can find refuge. Now, of course, when I think that, I think to myself, Bert, if your home is destroyed and your leg is crushed under some rubble, and you know you're going to die because no one's looking for you, where do you find the peace of God in this? How can you read this psalm out and know that? See, when we come up to those kind of situations, there is the one thing, there's the hopelessness that runs through our heart and our mind, right? That drives us into panic, into anxiety, that makes us doubt that any hope is there. And that is, on one level, that is the reality of the situation. But spiritual power, or the power of God, takes that situation and says, you know, look, it looks really bleak. It looks really horrible. But God remains greater and bigger than all of this. You don't have that if you don't know what happens to you after you die. See, the biggest thing about all those things is the fear of death. If death comes, what happens next? We live so much in this fear of death, but actually, when you know the greatness of God, his grace, his perfection, there is a hope that sustains you even in the darkest times. It doesn't mean that you're not sad. It doesn't mean that you're not scared. But it does mean, God, I know where to look. And though my body wastes away or my emotions feel faint, my spirit will be restored because of you. That first part is what I would say, divine presence. The power of God, the divinity of who he is, present with us. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As the psalm goes on and it says, there's this river whose stream, and I felt like there's this weird contrast that happens. The seas that foam, and then suddenly there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What is he talking about? There's this contrast there because there's a contrast of this roaring, kind of uncontainable, you know, ocean or sea that seems scary and frightening, because that's what the sea was back then. It was a frightening place of death. Contrasted instantly with this picture of a river and a stream, not just a river, a rushing river, a stream. God is saying, look, even amidst all this turmoil, stop for a moment and realize that God himself rules a city where the streams, the still streams of his grace lead towards it. In other words, you discover a place of refuge even in the midst of that storm. A place of knowing, actually, God, he is immovable. This is his kingdom. He is greater. He is wiser than all of this. God, in the midst of her, this city, this holy habitation, she shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. In other words, he's not going to abandon this city. He's not going to abandon you. It doesn't always mean that things work out the way we would hope or that we would expect. But the bigger picture of that is that your soul and your spirit know how to move forward even in the midst of this kind of difficulty. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. It's very hard to read the psalm and not think about the current world situation, right? It's very close to describing nuclear war, right? The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, and the earth melts. That's pretty much a picture of it. And yet God is saying, you know what? You might be scared of the unexpected, about the rulers of this world, or even how long this world is going to be around or what's going to happen. And so many people live in this fear, and they lash out because of this fear, and they rage against these things because it's all out of their control. And God takes a look and says, don't be afraid. My sovereignty is still over this. One of the things I'm most excited looking forward to in heaven is actually sitting down with God, and he just explains it all. He explains the entire history of civilization. And when you look at it, and when he explains it, suddenly I'm pretty sure it's all going to make sense. Because of the way that God's designed the world already, there's such beauty and harmony in that. If he can do that, he knows what he's doing with history. It just frustrates us because we don't. We see so narrowly. But God in his greater picture, it will make sense. And I want to ask him, God, you know, why these things? But I have a feeling when we get to heaven, it will be like, oh, I see now, God, both your glory, but also your grace and the mercy that you show to us, even though we're undeserving. This picture, this Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It is an invitation for you when you're going through difficult times to find that refuge in Christ. One of the simplest things to do is actually just pray this out. You know, God, you are my refuge, you're my strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The older I get, I realize that I meet more and more people. And of course, the older I get, the more and more people I meet are getting older too. And when I was young, I didn't think about death that much. I didn't think about what's going to happen. But the older I get and I talk to people who are really worried about what's going to happen next, about their health, about those fears that aren't so easily quenched, but is very unexpected, like what's going to happen. The ones who don't know God, there's often this panic, this sense of we just need to do anything we can to prolong our lives. The ones that do know God, they also want to prolong their lives, but there is this rest, this peace that they can have here on earth already, knowing that Jesus is their refuge and their strength. See, when you have Christ as your king, when your home is there, you have an unmovable foundation. No matter what happens, God remains the same. He is unmovable. You know, they say, as surely as the sun will rise, you know, that is God. He is so immovable, except he's more than that, because, you know, that has a lifespan. But God himself is eternal. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The last part of this psalm says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In war, and actually what you're seeing right now between North Korea and the United States, I should be a little bit more specific, with Donald Trump, it is essentially saber-rattling. The idea of shaking your sword saying, no, I'm stronger than you, and the other person saying, no, I'm stronger than you. There's this kind of bravado, or this sense of like machoism. It's like two guys who are trying to show that they're better than the other one and trying to, because they're just really insecure. No, that's not really why. But there's a sense of kind of this, we want to show you that we have more power, that we are better than you, that we're greater than you. And it's funny because they have actually a lot of power. They have actual nuclear weapons. They are pretty powerful. But in the bigger picture of things, you can imagine God looking at these two very small people and think to themselves, wow, really? You would bring death to all these people because you think you have power. Whereas God is saying, I have infinite power and I want to bring them life. You get this contrast between the way humanity works, trying to try to make a name for themselves, try to establish themselves, and then you have this contrast with God, who already is completely, perfectly established, saying, look, I love these people, and I want them to live, and I don't want them to die. And you know what? The time is coming where your saber rattling will end, and you will know what God is, who God is, the infinite power that he is. You know, that time is going to come when every knee will bow, and they'll say, whoa, you are God Almighty. The challenge for us is to come to that realization sooner rather than later. The quicker we realize that he is God Almighty and we are actually very small specks in the universe is the moment we can just actually relax a little bit. Because we're tiny specks in the universe and God still loves us. The infinite Almighty God still cares about us. That alone should give you the peace to say, you know what, even though the unexpected things come, you know what, God is my refuge. I don't deserve to have him as a refuge, but he is. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know whether or not these things will work out the way I hope, but you know what, God is my refuge. It gives us the courage then to live our life faithfully, do the best we can, to not just say, well, I'm just going to fail my exams because God's my refuge. That's not the point. University students, do not take that home. But rather it's the sense of, you know what, God, because you are my refuge, I can go in wholeheartedly with this exam, not worrying about whether I pass or fail. I can go there to actually learn, to engage with people. Because God, I know that you are weaving a bigger narrative that I have the pleasure and privilege to be a part of. It's that final realization that actually he is God. He's God Almighty. The older I get, the more comfort I find in that, actually. This world is so unstable. People are looking for anything that's going to give them that kind of peace or satisfaction, but it never satisfies. You know, we're scrambling for anything that gives us meaning, but actually God himself is like, you know what? He's God. Just be still for a moment and know that he is God. He will be exalted. He will. It's an inevitability. But if we begin to understand that now, and you say, you know, actually, God, yeah, be exalted today in my life. Be praised, be glorified. You know, it shifts the way we live. We're not fighting against sin anymore because we're like, well, actually, God, I just want you to be exalted. And I think some of the stuff I'm doing in my life, that is not exalting you. And not exalting God, I will tell you, tends to bring anxiety and fear because you're trying to hide from him, which is even worse because you know you can't really. You discover actually when the unexpected things come or the fear and the trouble come, you can say, actually, God, let me find my refuge in you. Now, there are some of you guys here today who are actually going through hard times. And actually, when you are going through hard times, a sermon like this doesn't make a big impact because the weight of the suffering is so great, it's very difficult to actually hear. If that's the case, if you're going through a really hard time right now, just ask someone for prayer. But the other thing is, just read the psalm out. Just spend time in that psalm because the power of God's word does the transforming power. You just read that out and just say, God, I don't even believe this, but I need something. And the Holy Spirit does this thing where he takes the words of the Bible and he writes them on your heart, on your mind, in your situation. And the peace that we're talking about is not a mental peace that you have somehow reasoned yourself into understanding, but it's the supernatural peace of God and his divine presence and his unmovable foundation that declares that he is God. Shall we pray? Father God, indeed, we thank you so much because you are the Almighty One. You are God Almighty. There is no one like you. And we live kind of in this world where we still place ourselves above you, where we think we are somehow greater or more important than you are, but you are God. So, Lord, let us just be still before you. Just desire you to be exalted in our lives, to find our rest in that, Lord. God, you are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High, and God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and God will help her when morning dawns. Lord, your church, your body, us, we are that dwelling. And the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's come and worship.